Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
And we're off and running. Thanks, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. A getaway Friday, March the 5th, 2021. First Friday in the month of March, 15 minutes past the hour. And we've got a great show today. Fridays are a lot of fun here on this station because in the morning for the first 2 hours, usually it's just a conversation between you and I on the toll-free line here. And I enjoy that, and I hope everybody participates this morning as you normally do out there. And then from 10 to 11, we usually play the Family Feud. And from 11 to 12, we have the Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker. And from 12 to 1, we have the Exchange Club. I don't know if anybody will be present today with Stewart's opened for the season. But if we have the two girls here at 12, that would be fun. If not, we'll make do otherwise. That's how the radio biz goes. Now, a few things I do want to mention right off the top of the program here, right at the start of the program. Here's what we're going to do. I have decided this last night because earlier in the week, and I was not aware of a lot of this, to be honest, so let me kind of go back and give context to this story. On my birthday, I was surprised by Angie, here in the studio that morning, with cookies from Chasing Perfection here in town, which I was not even aware of, to be honest with you. I'm sorry I was not aware of them at the time, but Angie was, and she showed up here on my birthday morning, which was last Wednesday, with these cookies from Chasing Perfection. And I had never seen anything like these cookies in my life. Never, never, never. I posted a picture of them online because I was so impressed by them. They were of a radio theme. There were levels, there were microphones, there were sound boards, just all kinds of great cookies. And I was really impressed by these. And again, Chasing Perfection gave us no money to say that. I was impressed. And I think when you're impressed by something, you should say it. And there was a great deal of creativity, obviously, displayed by the owner, who I did not know at that time. I know her name's Angie now. So I just said how great I thought the cookies were. And I did think the cookies were great. So after that all happened, now this is what I did not realize, is that Angie, who owns the business, or somebody told her, I don't know how this all happened, but she became aware that I was saying nice things on air about her cookies, which I certainly was. So she went to the online archive, and put some of those clips on her Facebook page, which is perfectly fine. Absolutely fine by me. Now, I did not know that had happened, but certainly fine, because I did praise the cookies quite a bit. So after this happens, Angie called in one morning, I think it was a couple days ago, and said she was willing to donate a dozen cookies here to the station for St. Patrick's Day, which she did, and we need to give those cookies away. Now, I don't know if Angie listens to this show. I think she might, because she called in just as the show was starting that morning, but and she's free to call in anytime she likes. But here's how we're going to give away these cookies. Because we probably need to know the winner some days before St. Patrick's Day, if that's how you're going to use these cookies. And St. Patrick's Day, I believe, is the 17th, next Saturday, a week from tomorrow. So I thought we would do the first contest here, and I don't think we've ever done one like this, that would go over 2 days, because this is a big prize to win. Now, here's what we're going to do. So be listening next Monday and Tuesday. Now, this will sound a little convoluted, but here's how we're going to do it, because we've got one big prize, and we want everybody to be able to win. On Monday morning, I'm going to come on from 8 to 10, and I am going to ask trivia questions. Now, nothing new with that, but I'm going to come on and I'm going to ask trivia questions, and you can call in as many times as you like. And if you get the right answer during the two-hour broadcast on Monday, I will write down your name and I will write down your phone number. Now, this is something new. I will write down your name and I will write down your phone number and I will put your name in a bucket. So for 2 hours Monday, we will do as many trivia questions as we can. You can enter as many times as you like, but when you call in with the correct answer on air, you have to give us your name and your phone number. Your name and your phone number. So that'll be Monday. And that's all that's going to happen on Monday. Then, on Tuesday, from 8 to 10, this is how we're going to get our winner. This is what we're going to do. Tuesday morning, I'm going to come in, and at some point during the show Tuesday, from 8 to 10, so you'll want to be listening, I am going to pull a name and a phone number out of that bucket from the day before. And I am going to call that person live on the air Tuesday morning. And I am going to ask them one final trivia question. And if you know the answer when I call you to that trivia question, you will be the winner of the cookies. Now, let's say I come in Tuesday morning and I call the first person and they don't know the answer to the trivia question. Well, then we're going to go on to the next one. We're going to pull another name out and call that person and see if they know the answer, but it will not be the same trivia question. Because here's why we're doing this. We're getting rid of the Google factor, is what we're doing. Because I know that a lot of times you Google the answers to the questions, and that's fine. And on Monday, feel free to do that if you want to do that. I mean, I would prefer that you didn't, but I really can't stop you. So to get into the contest, you would be able to Google the answers to the questions. But you're not going to know the question when I call you. And you're only going to have 5 seconds to answer the question. So you're going to have to know the answer. It's not going to be Googleable. And that's how we're going to give these cookies out. So that's going to happen next Monday and Tuesday, the great cookie giveaway, thanks to Angie over at Chasing Perfection. Now, if Angie has anything to say about this, if she's out there listening, she can give us a buzz, 740-383-9944. And if anybody who's out there who's a regular listener or a first-time listener, who would like to participate in this or thinks this is a good idea, what do you make of this contest? We've never done it this way, but I was trying to think of a way that we could include everybody, but yet also make you know some knowledge. You know, you're going to have to know something off the top of your head. You're not just going to be able to Google the answer to the final question. So what do you make of this? Do you like this contest? Maybe we'll start doing other things this way. This could be a whole new trend here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz, and we can discuss it if you like. But I like the idea of doing that, because I have heard time after time when we have given away stuff on this station that people get angry because they either know the answer and they can't get in because somebody's Googling the answer, or something of that nature, and I understand that. You know, it's a different world that way. You used to have to know stuff. So this way, we will eliminate the Google factor, because you won't know you're being called until your phone rings, and you will not know the answer, obviously. Unless you know the answer. Now, here's something else that will happen. Let's say you enter on Monday, and Tuesday at 8:15, I call you, and you're not home, or you're not near your phone, or you have the ringer off, or you're at the gas station or the grocery store, and you don't make it to the phone. well, we'll go on to the next caller. So there's that factor, too. It's not just that you might get the trivia question wrong. Maybe something will be going on with you Tuesday morning and you won't answer the phone. If you don't answer the phone, we'll go on to the next caller. So that's how it'll go next Monday and Tuesday for the dozen cookies from Chasing Perfection here in Marion. Now, what we'll do is when we do get the winner, I'll send the name over to Angie, and then you'll call her and you'll order your cookies. So you don't have to come to the radio station to pick these up, and you should have them by St. Patrick's Day, I would imagine. So any thoughts on this contest? Give me a buzz. If Angie's out there listening, she can call and give me a buzz. Or what do you think, listeners? Do you think this is the way to do a trivia giveaway? I just, as I say, wanted to eliminate the Google factor in this. I really want to see what the knowledge is of the listening audience. And like I say, I'm only going to give you 10 seconds to answer. So when I call you, don't try to have your phone ready. Don't try to type in the question, because at 10 seconds, if I don't get an answer, I'm moving on. And, you know, in the old days, people used to guess. You're better off just to give a guess. You might be right. You never know. I'm not going to make the question super hard, but I have an idea of what some of those final questions will be. So that's going to go on next week. The Chasing Perfection Cookie Giveaway. 740-383-9944. What do you think? Well, apparently everybody's okay with it, because I'm not hearing anything in regard to this. Okay. What else is on the discussion board this morning? Oh, I did want to mention this. You know, we were over at Stewart's Root Beer on Wednesday night for the big grand opening, and it was packed, as I told everybody yesterday. I did not know they had done a newspaper article on the grand opening of Stewart's. I saw that this morning, and I think, what a great article. So, congratulations, Michelle, and what a nice article on the opening of Stewart's for the 95th year, which we have learned. And it's a great article, and I think it's in today's paper. I know it's online today. I saw it online, so congratulations to them. And I don't know how busy they were yesterday, but my goodness, opening night was just absolutely packed, and I think the warm weather had something to do with that. So congratulations to them, and they'll keep on keeping on, I'm sure. All right, what else did we want to talk about here this morning? Okay, well, this is where we ended yesterday, so I wanted to come back with this, because we were going off the air yesterday as we were starting to talk about this, and I don't want, sometimes talking about things like this gets people hot under the collar, but we just ran out of time yesterday, so I wanted to continue the conversation. Now, we all know now about the big story that's going on here locally in Marion politics. In which, now I'm going to try to tell this story as best I can, but to be honest with you, we really don't know what's going on. Here's what we know for sure, as I understand it. At some point, $1.28 million from the city was paid to the state of Ohio. Now, it should not have been. The money was actually meant to go to the IRS. So, what happened was, at some point, somebody in the auditor's office realized that a mistake was made. And so they paid $1.28 million to the IRS. Now, the money, to my knowledge, as of yesterday, still has not been recovered from the state. Now, everybody thinks it will be recovered from the state. The mayor came on Tuesday or Wednesday and said he thought it would be recovered from the state. The newspaper articles have all said that. I think Landon, the auditor, has said that. So we think it will be returned. But the questions are, as of right now, we've got a lot of money out here. We've got $1.28 million out of the Marion budget right now that should not be. Now, where did that money come from? The mayor did not seem to think that there would just be $1.28 million laying around. The other thing is that did the auditor have the authority to pay the IRS an extra $1.28 million before the money was recovered by the state without consulting the finance committee or city council or anything of that nature? Now, there is also a claim by the auditor that he was given the wrong account number by a firm that deals with the city. So there's a lot of stuff going on here. Now, here's the problem. And this is why this has become a big issue. People are at each other's throats, and they're calling names. And I'm not talking about just citizens. Citizens are doing it. But it's the politicians, too. They are at each other's throats, and I am seeing some of the nastiest, worst comments I have ever seen. Well, I won't say the worst I've ever seen, but some of the worst that I have seen in quite some time regarding this story. I mean, I've seen nasty remarks made about stories before, but this one is right up there. And I don't know why it's becoming a me versus you story. That I'm not quite certain of. So, you seem to have one group. Now, the sad thing is, here's the problem. Okay, there is a certain group we know that support one person, one of these people. And there's a certain group that supports the other person. So they go on the attack immediately and attack the opposing group. Now, here's the problem with this. Do we ever see things without any judgment? That's what I can't understand, because I can tell you 90% of these comments I was reading yesterday, when all I had to do was read the name of the person making the comment, and I knew which way the article was going to go. I knew which way the comment was going to go, because they are a supporter of that person. And this, I think, is what has broken our political system in this country and locally in a way. Nobody can see past the person. I don't know when that started. It's no longer about the facts. It's no longer about what the person did. It's about, do we like them? Do we like them? Are they one of our favorite people? Here's what I don't understand. If somebody does something wrong, okay, you can still like them. They can still be your friend. But why can't you say they did something wrong? They made a mistake. Are mistakes no longer allowed? You can no longer make a mistake? I don't understand this. It's very confusing to me. Especially in the media. I really don't get it. It's puzzling. So, we went off the air yesterday taking phone calls about this, so if you called in yesterday about this, or want to call in about this now, I think it's a fascinating subject, because it keeps going on. We still don't have all the answers, but people are already in their corners coming out punching. And I don't know how you can do that if you don't have the facts. That's what I don't know. If we don't know everything yet, I don't know why anybody would have already made up their mind. When did we start doing that? You know, the media used to be the group that did this. But now people think the media is just all bias and all out to get people. I mean, I saw attacks on the Marion Star yesterday. Now, let's be honest here. The Marion Star was a newspaper started by Warren G. Harding, a Republican president. And most people will tell you that the Marion Star over the years has tended to endorse Republican candidates. I don't really think that the Marion Star is in the back pocket of any politician. And I can speak for this station, because we have certainly been a part of covering this story. Now, nobody has attacked us on that level. that I'm aware of, but who knows? It may be yet to come. We don't have any agenda. Nobody sits around here and says, well, we're going to get that person. We just try to get everybody on. We want to hear everybody's story. And it, as I said yesterday, I sent a message to the mayor and I sent a message to Auditor Landon within 10 minutes of each other when this story first broke on Tuesday. And the mayor responded by the next morning, and that's why he was on. And I have yet to hear anything back from Robert Landon to this point. Still no response. So that's the truth. Now, I don't know what's bias about that. And I don't know what's bias about the Marion Star's reporting. I have read both of their stories. I'm not exactly sure what's bias. Now, if anybody can explain that to me, go right ahead and explain it to me. I'd love to hear it. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, this comes to a question or a discussion that I was having with Glenn Coble the other day. There's no such thing as an indiscreet question. This is why I don't believe that a media show that does interviews or a newspaper in which you're asking questions can be biased. Because you get the opportunity to answer those questions, and you can say none of your business. So how could that be bias? I don't understand that. You know, now making statements, if you came on every morning and said, this person's innocent, this person's guilty, okay, well, now that's different. That's more of an editorial. But I don't see where anybody's done an editorial on this story. I see where people from the newspaper and myself, being the one on this station, have talked to as many people as we can about it, and we have asked questions. Beyond that, I don't know that anything has happened, and we have invited everybody on. And beyond that, I'm not sure what you're supposed to do. So, if you have an opinion, give me a buzz. I'm pretty sure you have an opinion on this, and I would love to hear it. So let's get the phones moving here this morning, almost 37 minutes into the program here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, normally, we would probably not spend so much time on a political story, and maybe this political story will have no repercussion at all. I don't know. Might not. Might not have any repercussion in the end, and we might find out that things are totally different than what we believe them to be now. But I don't understand the judgment to come in and prejudge before we know the facts. Now, clearly, the people involved are doing a little bit of prejudging, but they're involved. You know, they're allowed to do it. I just, you know, here's the problem. This is what I don't like to see. I don't like when somebody's accused of doing something, and instead of answering the accusation, they attack the other person on something they did. Okay, well, I'm sure the other person has done something wrong too. But I don't know what that has to do with the current problem. We're trying to get an answer to the current problem. We're not trying to go back and figure out every little wrong thing that everybody has done. You know, I don't know anybody who hasn't made a mistake from time to time, but people really want to get serious about this particular story. It's interesting nobody wants to talk about it. Now people wanted to talk about it yesterday. I don't know. Maybe people have just clammed up on this thing. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Now, we'll move along if nobody has anything to say, but I just, it's been something to watch. Because being in the local media for a long time now, I'm really starting to get amazed about how people, politicians in particular, are doing things on the local level that politicians are doing on the state and national level. Local politicians did not used to act like this. This is something new. I've never seen this before. When Jack Kellogg was mayor, who was a Republican, I covered Jack Kellogg. I could call Jack Kellogg anytime and get a meeting with him. I could get him on the phone 9 times out of 10 when I called the office. And Jack Kellogg always came on the programs when I would ask him, and he always answered the questions. So, what has changed? When did things become so personal? Everybody's so touchy. You know, it goes into this whole Dr. Seuss story. I'm seeing many posts about this. You know, we have spent days now talking about Dr. Seuss books and book banning and this sort of thing. I don't know that any of these books have been banned. And what we learned yesterday was that it was his own company, his own estate, probably some of his relatives, that wanted to end the manufacture of these books. It was not an outside group. So that's not book banning. Book banning is when a college or a school or a town or a city or a government says you can't read that book. That's book banning. Because a company decides they're not going to manufacture a book anymore, that is not book banning. That's just a company deciding they're not going to manufacture a book. And there are many reasons that this happens. Sometimes the book is not selling as well. Sometimes there have been so many copies made of this book that they just don't feel the need to print it anymore, that there are so many copies out there. And sometimes, like in this situation, they feel that it does not depict the legacy of the person who wrote it. That's not book banning. That's a decision made by a private company, a person's private family. Now, I can understand why people don't like it because they have a sentimental attachment to these books. But it's to come out and say it's book banning, and this that it's not. There is no group saying, don't bring that book in here. There's no group saying you can't teach that book in school. There's no group saying the government will no longer allow you to purchase or distribute this book. So I think we've got to get a hold of ourselves in a way when it comes to this stuff. We can be unhappy that his family decides not to manufacture this book anymore, but you can't call it book banning. That's not really what's going on here. And you know what? These books have been out for many decades and have sold many copies. It's not like they're all going to go away. And I have not heard any school or any college or any library or any government, a state government, say you can't read this book. None. So it's not book banning. So why are we getting so outraged about this? Do we just need to be outraged now? Every day we have to find something new to be outraged about. I don't know. 43 minutes past the hour here. Give me a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, before we go off the deep end with some of these things, I think we've really got to pay attention to what is actually being done and why it's being done. I don't think anybody is trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But boy, you would think that way if you paid attention long enough. All right. Well, again, as I say, phone lines will remain open. I guess nobody at this point wants to talk about the situation going on downtown here or wants to talk any further about the Dr. Seuss issue. But that's just the facts of those two situations. Or wants to comment on how we're going to give away these dozen donuts from Chasing Perfection next Monday and Tuesday. But that's the story this morning. And if you want to comment on any of those things, give me a buzz. We're glad to hear from you. I'd love to hear your opinion. And as always, you do not have to agree with me. You can point out where you think I'm wrong. But I think the discussion is always worth having. That's the point of this show. The discussion is always worth having. And that's why we're here. So there you go. 740-383-9944. Give me a buzz if you have any thoughts on anything we've talked about in the first 30 minutes of this program this morning, coming up on 45 minutes past the hour. See, I better make sure the phone is working. Uh-oh, the phone is not working. Well, this could explain why we're not getting any phone calls. Now, why is the phone not working? Hello? Hello? Well, isn't that interesting? Well, maybe this is why we're not getting any calls. Oh, here we go. Well, maybe the phone's working now. Holy mackerel. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good. Was my phone broken?
No, you were, because you answered and then hung up, and so I had to call back.
Oh, it was right on the... We must have picked up at the same time.
Well, whatever. Anyway, first off, I want to tell you, the Marion Star, I am still a dedicated reader to it. Probably will be. A whole big, maybe three-fourths of the front page is about Stewart's opening, which is very, very good.
I think that's
great.
They
got two pictures in there. They got the article in there. That's all good. That's the Marion Star.
Absolutely.
And then there's an article about the vaccine. And let's see, there's an article on the opinion page, Money is Not the Key to Happiness, by that Tom Purcell. That's really good. And then there's the article from the minister, in regard to a brother makes a difficult choice about when he had to make the choice of taking his brother off of life support because he had been ill and he had COVID. Now, that's what's in the Marion Star today, and I enjoy it very much, and more people ought to read the Marion Star.
Now, yesterday's newspaper...
Yeah.
When they did the article, which we were very happy that they mentioned us in the interview with Mayor Schertzer, there was a lot of backlash on this article against the Marion Star and just political fighting. Did you think the article was inappropriate, wrong, slanted one way? Did you feel that when you read it?
No, not really, but it depends what your mindset is when you start reading an article. If you've already decided before you've read the article, then you can make it like that if you want.
Well, what is just starting to fascinate me is that really state and national politics used to operate differently. They've always operated a little bit of name-calling, a little bit of accusations. That's always going on nationally and statewide. Locally, that used not to go on so much. And
It's the times. Everybody has an opinion, and it's right. There's also an article on the front page, Indicted Householder Introduces Checks and Balances Bill. Now, we know what he did and where he's at and why is he so allowed to do, especially introducing checks and balances bills.
Well, I think it's because, as you said, this is where we are. You know, it's okay to like somebody. There have been many politicians in town who you like. There's nothing wrong with that, and maybe you voted for them. But just because you like somebody, why all of a sudden does that make you oblivious to any facts that are on the table in regard to that person? I don't understand that.
Well, I don't understand it either, but, you know, everybody has an opinion, and their opinion is right, and most of their information comes off of their phone.
Well, and you know, I think we had an interesting conversation last week when the whole potato head thing was going on about what is news and why are we covering it. But I think this Dr. Seuss thing is important to cover, not for the fact of, you know, books being pulled, but that so many people went off the deep end before they even realized that it was his family, his estate.
Well, until that lady called in that did have facts, that's what we all kind of thought, because, you know, that's just the way the American people is. They wanna be right, whether they're right or not. So, anyways, but I just wanted to give a big old plug to Marion Star.
Well, I appreciate, and I love the article on Stewart's today. I thought that was a great, great article, and a very upbeat article, and they were exactly right. They were super busy on Wednesday night. I can speak from experience.
Yes, and the article about the man making the decision, he's that minister that always puts an article in on Friday about having to make the decision for his brother, and then I was kind of jarred by Householder being able to introduce a bill for checks and balances. I thought that was kind of interesting.
That is interesting. He just keeps going on and on at this point.
Yeah, and he's drawing a paycheck too, I'm sure.
No, I'm sure he is, like so many other people.
Like our judges.
That's
anyway, okay, have a good one.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Bye.
All right, the phone lines are open. There we go. Now the phones are working, I know for sure. And we have received a phone call. 50 and a half minutes past the hour. 740-383-9944. Give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. We'd love to hear from you. Opinions are welcome on everything. I don't know if the phone was broken or what, to be honest with you. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, John.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on this radio. First of all, I don't know who wrote the check, but the company that gave in the number, and whoever got the number, when you're writing that kind of a check, that kind of money, they should have checked the numbers and made sure they were right before they wrote the check. And well, there may not have been this problem.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people feel. I think the mayor kind of alluded to that the other day.
Yeah. So, you had to put it on the person, the people who were giving the number, and the person that wrote the check.
You know, but I think, here's the thing about that. If that indeed is true, and we can prove that out to be true, that they gave the wrong account number, I guess the question I would have, and again, this is not a statement, the question I would have is when you realized that that happened, that you had made the wrong payment because the company gave you the wrong account number, why did you not alert the finance committee? Why did you not alert city council? Why did you not alert the mayor? And then why did you go ahead and pay the IRS when you knew you had given the money to the wrong group and still had not recovered it?
Well, that person right there, like you said, should have alerted somebody, but maybe they were new writing a check, but they didn't know how to do it, or who to notify. So it's laying there between somebody that forgot something.
I think you're right. Well, thank you. And again, phone lines are open. If the line's ringing busy, just means we're on the line with somebody else, so keep on trying back in. 52 and a half minutes past the hour here, 740-383-9944. And I want to make it, here we go, here's another call. Now we've woken up that the phones are working. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, you hit it on the head there. You know, mistakes can be made, but not letting nobody know about it and still being evasive about the situation and not wanting to, you know, answer any questions, you know, over the deal. You know, that's the problem.
You well, know, I can't...
The real problem I see, because, yes, a mistake can be made, but maybe that money could have been recovered faster if some people was alerted in the city, in the government. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it's just strange to me, and again, it would be a question I would like to ask of Mr. Landon, is why if it's true, and I'm not denying that his statement is true, maybe he did get the wrong account number. When you made that payment and you realized it was wrong, and at some point you had to realize that because you went ahead and paid the IRS without getting the money back from the state. So my question is, when you realized this error had been made, if it was the company, if it was the accounting company, why not go tell somebody and then say, hey, and we've still got to pay the IRS, by the way, so, you know, do you think we should do this? Should we hold off on the IRS? I don't quite understand that, and I know the city budget, and I don't believe there's an extra $1.28 million just lying around, so where did that money come from?
Right. Now, he might have been trying to go ahead and pay the IRS to avoid penalties.
Right, and I, you know...
save money, but, you know...
Well, he might have been, and you know what? If he did, that's even understandable. But why didn't he go to the mayor? Why didn't he go to the council? Why didn't he go to the finance committee and say that?
Right.
I need to pay the IRS because we're going to start collecting penalties, and for whatever reason, the state is not returning the money.
Right. And maybe the mayor could, or somebody, you know, could get the state moving a little bit faster to recover the money.
Well, it's just, it's strange to me because that I don't understand. And when the article first came out, there seemed to be a lot of emphasis put on the fact that even charges were going to be brought against this company for giving the wrong account number. And, I mean, is that a crime? I'm not really sure if that's a crime or not. Here's the problem. You know, if they gave you the wrong account number, that could be accurate. I'm not saying it's not. But didn't you also pay the wrong account number? I mean, it seems just like a couple mistakes were made here that led to a problem. But why nobody said anything that's baffling to me. I don't understand that.
I don't see why we have an accounting company when we have the auditor's office and all them people anyhow.
Well, you know what? I would really wonder, here's going to be a problem. And this is something for people to think about. Maybe this accounting company did do that. But if they didn't, if this is an accusation, you can be darn sure that this accounting company might come after the city for making statements against them that they believe not to be false or true. So I hope that it
is. Yeah, they're not going to go after Landon. They're going to come after the city.
Right. So I hope that really did happen. And I also wonder, how did they find out that it was the wrong account number? I mean, who told them? Did the IRS, they had to, there's another dovetail in this, because the story again is they gave us a wrong account number, so we paid the wrong people unknowingly. Okay, that's the story. But yet, at some point you know you paid the wrong people unknowingly, because then you went ahead and paid the IRS. So did you realize the account number was wrong? Did the IRS send you a letter telling you you hadn't paid them? How did you find out? Because clearly you found out. So, at that moment, why didn't you alert somebody?
Well, really, you know, it's not like this hasn't been paid before. I don't see why they would have had to relied on the accounting company for the... You know, those withholdings have to be paid, what, every 3 months or every so often? It's not like it's something that's never been paid before.
Well, I guess what I don't know, and you know what, I don't work in the auditor's office, but $1.28 million seems like a lot of money to me for a city the size of Marion. Now,
if you're a businessman, when you withhold the withholdings from your employees, You got to send that in every 3 months.
Well, I guess my question is, just forgetting the account number thing, $1.28 million. Now, did you... apparently, we didn't know any money to the state. So, were you not aware that the IRS needed to be paid and the state did not need to be paid? I guess I don't understand that part either.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, isn't...
If they gave you the wrong number and you said, well, we don't owe the state no money.
Right.
We owe the IRS money.
Right. I think that... I mean, even if you had the wrong account number... I mean, don't you know where the check is going? I don't know. Are you just depositing money? I don't know how that works. It's strange to me because...
Isn't there some other accusations with him?
Well, yeah, there's a whole thing.
Impropriety.
About the way he campaigned, yes.
Yeah.
And I, as far as I know, that's still going to go to trial at some point. And we'll see what happens there. But I don't know. I would like to talk to him. I would like to ask him these questions. I have no beef with the auditor. But I would just be curious, much like with the mayor, how does this happen? What exactly went down here? How does the internal government work? And, you know, maybe we would all learn something about how this can happen. And then it would kind of free up everything.
But you're talking about how people... you know, want to defend him, you know, and, or, even when you see the light of day with a candidate, people don't want to admit to it, you know what I'm saying?
It's a funny, well, I'll tell you what, you know, we're coming up on the break here, but keep listening, and call back in if you get a chance.
Okay,
thank you. All right, and anybody else, call in as well. We're going to take a 15-minute break. If you haven't got in because you've gotten the busy signal, give us a buzz back, 740-383-9944.
And so on and so forth. Anyway.
To the voice of Ursula from The Little Mermaid, legendary actress Pat Carroll.
And I think they're fascinating people, and